Praise the Lord this morning. Thanks for coming out on this day. It's pretty outside, isn't it? I mean, it really is pretty. So praise the Lord for that. God is good. We're going to open up our Bibles today to Romans chapter 12. You want to start there. There's a Bible there at your seats. If you don't have a Bible with you, please use the one at the seats in front of you. And if you don't have one at home, take that one home with you. You can take that Bible and make it your own. You can keep it. Finders keepers. Bod for God. This is a brand new series that we're starting on how to glorify God with our bodies. And I want to start off with small changes. Small changes in our spiritual life, small changes in our spiritual thinking can have huge implications, vast implications in our physical life. At church, just about all of our teaching centers around spiritual changes, around adjustments that we can make in our spiritual lives that affect the rest of our life. They're interconnected, they're interwoven. For instance, if we think incorrectly about God, that He doesn't really care about our daily needs, that the needs that we cast on Him, He's kind of aloof, He isn't really concerned. If that's our image of God, then we're far less likely to take time to develop a prayer life. If we're less likely to take and develop a prayer life, then we're not going to cast our needs upon Him. We're not going to share our needs with Him. In addition to that, we're not going to trust Him to help us with daily decisions. If we don't trust God to help us with our daily decisions, then we're not going to believe that He's going to be there to answer our prayers and to help us when we call upon Him, when we ask Him. And if we're not looking for and expecting for answers, we're certainly not going to obey an answer when we do get one, if He sends one our way, right? But when we think rightly about God, we know that He loves us, we know that He cares about us, we're going to take time to develop that relationship. That's going to be our life. We're going to encourage that in our life. We're going to trust Him with daily decisions. We're going to expect answers when we ask Him. We're going to be looking for answers. We're going to take our Bibles and we're going to search for the answers, knowing that He has what's best in mind for us. But it all starts with a spiritual change in our hearts, a heart that's looking for something from God. And that's a spiritual shift that happens in our mind and in our thinking way before it happens in our physical life. Seeing how our spiritual decisions and our spiritual life affects our physical life is pretty easy to do. We can see it in our everyday behavior or our lack of behavior in whether we believe God or not. But when we need to make a change in our physical life, oftentimes we're slow to see the spiritual connection. When we don't see that, we don't take action in that aspect of our life. We ought to seek that spiritual solution first, is what this series is about. If we need to lose weight, sometimes we just begin dieting and exercise. We'll read if you're a lady, maybe we're in one of the women's magazines and we see this new weight loss thing and we jump right on it, don't we? If we're men and we see that incredible Nutrisystem commercial with that guy holding, we just order the food and start the diet without it giving a second thought about how our spiritual life might affect our physical life. So I want to propose that what we might be missing is the spiritual component in healthy living. What does that look like? Does God have anything to say about that in the Bible? And this morning I want to start with 1 Corinthians 10:31, which incidentally is our memory verse. We try to give a memory verse out each week here. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink," the next word, "whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. What is the Apostle Paul telling us in this passage? What is God trying to share with us in our heart with this little scripture? So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. God is clearly telling us from the context of this passage that we need to change the dedication of our life, the reason why we do the things in our due, so that everything, that's why He says whatever you do, so that in everything we do, whether it's eating or drinking or anything else we do is for His glory. I'm convinced that the reason that we're not successful in many of the things we start to undertake in life is because we haven't dedicated them to God. In fact, James 4, verses 1 and 2 there says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, you fight, and you do all this stuff, but you do not have what you ask God because you ask with the wrong motives. The reason we don't have is because sometimes we're not even asking God. We're not even going to that part to where we check our motives. We just jump on the new latest bandwagon for whatever the craze is that's going on in society, and we can certainly see it in our lives, can't we? We're building a life on the sand that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 7 instead of the solid rock of His Word. This phenomenon leads us to a great deal of oscillation on our life, highs and lows. Instead of a very stable life, we end up being tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching that comes our way, not only from strange church ideas that we might hear on the TV show or somewhere, but even in the world, the teaching and cunningness and craftiness of men and all their deceitful scheming, we end up falling blind to it because we haven't said, God, what do you want? And seeking Him and saying, how do I live for your glory in this way? This is a model of my life. If I had to give you my testimony, I'm going to share a little bit of my life with you today. My weight oscillated from way up here to way down here, and I bet in my life I've lost 35,000 pounds. I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing a number. I was up and down and up and down and up and down. As far as I can remember, I was heavy. That's an understatement. I was fat. I was, as my heaviest, I weighed 354 pounds. That was huge. I tell people I was born weighing 200 pounds, my poor mama, you know. And I tried every single weight loss program that came down the pipe, from Nutrisystem to Atkins to Weight Watchers, hospital wellness programs, Metafast, doctor-supervised programs, juice fasting, prescription drugs, I mean everything. Every single thing that was out there, I did it. One day I was praying and reading through my Bible, and I came across Psalms chapter 4, verse 2. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? Whew, have you ever had one of those verses that takes the wind out of you and it sort of knocks you over and you just go, whoa? And I started to weep. I was uncontrolled. This doesn't happen to me very often, but I was just sobbing before the Lord. I had a picture of God speaking to Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet seeing the throne room of God, the robes of His glory filling the temple, and I had somehow taken some incredible, infinite piece of His infinite glory, and somehow my actions through eating had turned His glory into shame, and I was devastated. I couldn't believe the words I was reading off the paper. How long, O Martin, are you going to turn my glory into shame? And I was devastated. That was me. I was turning God's glory into shame. The next line in the same verse says, how long will you love delusions and seek false gods? And if we follow anything other than God's instructions in these areas of our life, we're seeking delusions. How many times have you said, you need to eat this, and then a few years later they come out and they say, no, don't eat that. Butter's not bad. Oh, hallelujah for that, isn't it? That's the new thing. You know, it's just wonderful. And then they say, this is bad, don't eat that. And then a few years later, this is good. And then, you know, it just goes back and forth and back and forth. Delusion, seeking false gods. Well, right then and there, I made a change in my heart. I repented. I said, God, I need you. I confess my sin. I know this is not honoring to you. I didn't realize I was affecting your glory. I need to change that. Well, the change happened for a while, but the struggle remained. I'm not saying you do the three steps I'm giving you today and everything's different. That's not true. The struggle even remains today. My doctor recommended bariatric surgery many, many years ago, and I rejected it right away, saying, you know what, I lack self-control. It's a spiritual issue. Maybe I was holier than thou. I don't know what the situation was, but he said, you know, you need to do this. And I'm like, no, I lack self-control. I have self-control in so many areas of my life, but not in eating and exercise. I really tried to keep working on it. Years went by, my weight continued to fluctuate, but I was listening to God. I confessed and repented. You know how that goes. I began to develop all sorts of weight-related problems, from diabetes to sleep apnea to shortness of breath to joint pain. I began to think more about this bariatric surgery thing, and again, I was really struggling with it from a spiritual standpoint. You know, I just didn't think a medical solution was my solution to a spiritual problem, and I knew it was a spiritual problem. So I asked I have a biblical counselor that really helped us. You've heard me talk about our marriage in the past, and he really, through God speaking through him, he saved our marriage. I mean, we listened to God through him, I called him and shared with him. He kind of mentored me in the ministry a little bit too. And he said, Martin, if you're willing to cut out the majority of your stomach for the Lord, that's obedience to God. That's something that honors God. You're willing to take a step of faith in that area. And he said, that's called radical amputation. And then he shared with me Matthew 6. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. This is God's instructions to us. And maybe not in a literal sense in that way, but that was not a spiritual cop-out. And so I began to make preparations, and it changed my life. The first step was to dedicate this area of my life to God. I had to make that step and say, God, I don't want to shame your glory anymore. And then I began to listen to him in this area. Before that, I was like, you know, every Christian that I know is out of shape and unhealthy and so on, right? I was normal, but that wasn't what God wanted for us, wanted for me especially. The second step was to manage my habits by doing what was necessary to take care of this problem. That's going to be next week. The third step, the third week of this series, is inspiration, motivating myself for change, which is generally connected to the first two steps. And finally, the fourth step is motivation, building our circle of support, which is going to be the fourth week of our series. So I hope you stay tuned with us through this entire Bod for God series. You can do the same. You may not need a bariatric surgery. You may, for that matter, but I promise you that the first step in whatever change God is pointing out to you during this series is going to start with dedication, giving that, surrendering that problem over to God. So I want to dig into dedication this morning. As we begin that, one of the very best books I've ever read, apart from God's Word, the Bible, is a book called The Principle of the Path by Andy Stanley. You should write that down, The Principle of the Path. You can get it on Amazon. They'll send it right to your door. And it's an interesting book that discusses the fact that decisions we make in life dictate the path that we take. The decisions we make in life dictate the path that we take. Our spending habits today determine the path and the destination of our financial future. Our spiritual habits today determine the path and the destination of our ultimate relationship with God. Our eating habits today determine the path and the destination of our health later. The principle of sowing and reaping is certainly applicable to the principle of the path. If you sow good habits now, you reap good destinations later. Sowing and reaping. But that's the problem with sowing and reaping. That's the problem with the principle of the path. You see, the problem is, oftentimes, most of the time, there are not immediate consequences to our actions. It's a prolonged thing, so we think, oh, it's no big deal. You see, if you have one cigarette today, you probably will have absolutely no consequences whatsoever. But if you smoke a pack a day, you'll most likely lead to a destination filled with many regrettable medical conditions, shortened time with family, and the biggest thing is not fulfilling the God-given purposes and work that He wants for you to fulfill in life. See, that destination shortens your life, and God's will for you is life, an abundant life at that. The old adage, garbage in, garbage out, certainly applies to the principle of the path. If you put enough lustful thoughts into your minds, guys, you are choosing a path of sexual immorality, confusing relationships, difficult family situations, and an ultimate destination that is very far removed from where God ultimately desires for your life to be. Listen, today's habits determine our path, and our path determines our destination. BOD for God is not just about losing weight, although many of us can lose more weight or we can lose some weight, right? It's about putting your life on the path of health, no matter what area that might be, losing weight or giving up smoking or cleaning up our sex life or whatever area God may be speaking about with you. God for BOD is about getting a body that glorifies God so that you can have maximum impact for Him and do His will right here on earth right now. That's glorifying God. And that happens with one small step at a time down the path of life to reach the destination that He has for you. On Valentine's Day, I'll run my first marathon. Many of you know that already. I've been training for this for the last 20 weeks. Or have I? You see, the truth is I've been training for this for well over a year. When I first started to walk, you can ask Kim, she walked with me, and I made it 4 telephone poles away from my house. Isn't that great? Isn't that a big testimony of how much great shape I was in? I was huffing and puffing. The next day I did much, much better. I made it 5 telephone poles. And then pretty soon I was walking a mile and then 2. And I still remember to this day, I have a path right leaving the church and going around. It's 3.1 miles, and that's the first 5K I ever ran nonstop. And I was so happy. I called Kim. I was all excited, you know. And then now I'm running 20 miles regularly, and if there's not a blizzard outside. And this path is the destination. Small steps over a period of time take you a tremendous difference. It doesn't take huge steps. Some of you don't know, many of you do. I'm a pilot. I love to fly little tiny airplanes. And if I had a dime for every time my instructor said, "Martin, small corrections," I'd be a rich man. You see, because if you're flying 100 miles or 200 miles and you're just a little bit off course, you're going to be a long way from your destination. But if you just make a very small correction in that airplane, just a little click of the dial, just a little tiny bit on the autopilot, it makes a tremendous difference and just barely keeps you on course. And little adjustments make a big difference. Small corrections, Martin, small corrections. Why is this important? Studies have shown that the church is one of the most physically unhealthy organizations in America. Did you know that? Did you know that? Most pastors in America, the vast majority of pastors are overweight because you guys cook so good and you bring all this junk food. It's all your fault. I'm just kidding. Really, nobody forces us to put it in our mouth. But I'm telling you, we're one of the most physically unhealthy groups in America. I think this message should be preached across the nation. That's a sad indictment of God's glory in our collective lives, isn't it? How long, O church, are you going to turn my glory into shame? God created our bodies. He created them for Himself. According to the Apostle Paul, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The word body is mentioned 179 times in the Bible. When God deals with something that many times, it's important, very important. God provides instructions regarding how we should take care of it. He tells us how we can honor Him with our bodies. And because of this, we should care as well. God has work for you to do. He's looking for those who are willing and equipped to do that work. And equipped means having a body that can do what He wants it to do. Not that's willing to do it. We're all willing, but sometimes we're not able to carry it out. At my heaviest, which was shortly before I became your pastor, I'd lost some coming here. Do you remember those days, by the way? I would be up here preaching. I'd go back to shake your hands, and I'd have to have Stephen hand me a towel because I was sweating. So you remember that? And you think I just ran 10 miles, but all I was doing is up here talking. How out of shape is that? I knew back then that I could not continue to do the work of the Lord for a much longer period of time. I was so out of shape. Listen, you may not be a fat person. You may be a skinny fat person, like I call it. You may be one of those skinny people, but you have the habits of a fat person, right? Even though you're skinny, it does not necessarily mean you're healthy. I know bodybuilders who cannot pass a stress test at the local cardiology office, but they have gorgeous bodies, right? But inside, they're just as unhealthy as I was. Bod for God is about glorifying God with your body. It's about knowing what the Bible says about honoring God in what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, what you inhale, what you hear, what you touch, what you smell, what you think about, with honoring God with absolutely every single thing that we do in life, not turning His glory into shame. Bod for God is about doing it unto the Lord. It's about how we dedicate our bodies to God for His service. Dedication is important if you're going to have a bod for God. My personal journey began when I dedicated myself to God. Gluttony runs in my family. I had all kinds of excuses for being super, super overweight. What do they call it at the doctor? Morbidly obese. Isn't that a terrible term? Morbidly obese. My great-grandfather was so heavy, he had to be buried in a piano box. A piano box. He weighed in excess of 500 pounds. He was enormous. Since elementary school, I was overweight. I believed God. I knew Jesus was my personal Savior. But I did not dedicate everything to God. I held that back. The Reese's, the Snickers, all of that was mine. I didn't want to give that to the Lord. And God calls dedication walking in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:16. He goes on to tell us that when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What else can we call overeating, eating bowl after bowl of ice cream, except lust of the flesh? I had to bring God's Holy Spirit into my life in that area. So the question is today, what area are you saying, Holy Spirit, I got this one. Just stay over there. Which area is it? That's the area God wants to talk about today with you. Jesus said the flesh is weak. I think that's the biggest understatement in the entire Bible. My flesh is not just weak when it comes to this. It's beyond weak when it comes to eating and exercise. But the answer is to allow God's Holy Spirit to move into that area of your life and have control over that area of your life. I was used to letting the Holy Spirit guide me when I preach, but not when I sat down to eat. I had to first learn to listen to His voice. What is He prompting me to do? What small corrections? And it took a lot of time. This was not the last year and a half. This was the last 8 or 9 years of my life. What I ate and the amount I ate, I had to let Him point out daily habits that had to be changed so that I could arrive at the desired destination. I'm still not there. He's still working in my life. The habits around my flesh had a whole different destination in mind for me, death. But God's destination is life, abundant, abundant life. So how do you dedicate your life to the Lord? Let's look at Romans 12:2. Matthew, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. What is that? The fifth? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Sixth book of the New Testament. Romans chapter 12. verses 1 and 2. If you saw my Facebook post, it's on there. You can go home and answer the Facebook post today. Romans 12, 1, Paul wrote, he said, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." Mark that down, as living sacrifices. Underline it. "Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." So that's the command. That's what he wants us to accomplish. And then he says in verse 2, really that's how to go about doing it. First part here is, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's a minus sign. Put a little minus sign. That's what we call in biblical counseling a put off. We're not supposed to continue to conform to the pattern of this world. We'll talk about that. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. A little minus sign. That's the put off. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the put on. Put a little plus sign by that. Then, this is the benefit. You could put a little B by this. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, you can't know that until you start to put off the thinking of the world and begin to renew your mind and what God wants you to put your mind in. Then you're going to be able to know where He wants you to go and how He wants you to get there. And that's the answer to living a life that's honoring to God, to live your life as a pleasing, living sacrifice to Him. So dedication begins with a simple prayer. A prayer, not word for word. I'm not giving you, "Thou shalt pray this." This is something like this. "God, I give myself to you. I give you my body for your purposes. I can't do this on my own." I think that's really important, to humble yourself before God and say, "God, without you, I can't do this. I need your help. I need the help of your Holy Spirit reminding me every single minute of every day of what needs to be done. The small corrections, I'm going to forget about them tomorrow. I need you to remind me. I need you to walk with me in this. I need you to never, even when I get discouraged." Because you know you have a life-dominating thing like this, whether it's pornography, whether it's weight, whether it's cigarette smoking, whatever it happens to be, it's life-dominating. Whatever the change God is putting His finger on in your life, it's life dominating. You're going to get discouraged tomorrow when you mess up. I still mess up and I get discouraged. Ask Him. I go, and listen, that's when I need the Holy Spirit's work the most in my life. That's when you're going to need Him to walk alongside of you the most. Pray, ask Him for that. It's not magic, but it's miraculous. Renewing your mind is the key. This word in verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed," that carries the significance, that carries the analogy, the word picture in the scripture there is a tool being formed. That's the word that is. So don't be formed, don't pattern your life after, don't be conformed by the stuff going on in the world. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't let them influence your thoughts. Listen, what they say is good today is going to be bad tomorrow. What they say bad today is going to be good tomorrow. It's an oscillation. It's always changing. It's always being different. If you read diet books from 10 years ago, they're different than today. They're always coming out with new things, and new things are, it seems like, the greatest, best thing ever. I've done them all. And they oscillate all the time. So don't get all stuck up. Don't get all bent out of shape or conform your life to all of those wishy-washy standards. If you ever take and listen to Dr. Phil or some of those psychological things, you know, the teachings there, you didn't realize there's 700 different theories to modern-day psychology? Did you realize that? 700 different theories to modern psychology. It shifts and changes, and this theory and that theory, you get 10 different world-renowned psychiatrists to testify at a trial. They're going to have 10 different opinions. The prosecution's experts say one thing, the defense experts say one thing, and they're both PhD doctors or MDs in modern-day psychiatry. I'm not playing that down today. I'm just saying if you conform your thoughts to all of that stuff, you got to learn a whole lot, don't you? Just decipher through it. And then when you get all done with it, you're going to still not wonder what in the world's going on there. So we can't, that's the sand that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7. That's the sand that we can't build our life upon. When the winds come and the storms beat against that house, it's going to fall with a mighty crash. But if we will do the next thing, but do the put on, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, let's talk about that. Be transformed carries along with it the idea of metamorphosis. The caterpillar making a cocoon and going through metamorphosis and coming out a butterfly, that's the word picture behind these Greek words. Letting your mind be metamorphed into what God wants you to become by building upon the solid rock of His Word. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Apostle Paul tells us later in another word, he says, take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. Think about that for a moment. Take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. Not some of your thoughts. That's where I got into trouble, right? I'm fine with all the preaching thoughts. I'm fine with all the church thoughts. I'm fine with all that, but Lord, not the food thoughts, right? So there's where I had to go. I had to take every thought captive in 2 Corinthians and make them, force them, require them to become obedient to Christ. That's important because that's where the renewing of our mind comes from. And how do we do that? By studying His Word, by knowing what His Word is for our life. That's dedicating our life to God, transforming, renewing our mind in the thoughts of Christ. Dedication continues through discipline. The problem with a living sacrifice is, in verse 1, it keeps crawling off the altar. If it was a dead sacrifice, it would lay there and burn up and it would be good. But a living sacrifice keeps sliding off the altar. It keeps squirming. Oh, God, please let me have one more Sunday, you know, or whatever it is. Lord, let me have this or let me have that. Whatever your situation is, it keeps crawling off the altar. We can sacrifice for a time, but after a while we slip up. And then we either have to give up, which I've done a million times, or we have to start over again, right? Therefore, we need to discipline our bodies daily. This is why Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Constantly, every day. That's discipline. That's daily habits. This is the path that leads to the destination of life. What would our military be without discipline? Ever hear those screaming kids in Walmart that's throwing a temper tantrum because they didn't get one of the balls in one of those big things? Ever hear that? Kid needs some discipline, right? You know, Kim recently went and seen an opera at the Met in New York City. I'm so glad I didn't have to go. I'm just not an opera person. But do you think those opera singers had to practice with amazing discipline? Amazing discipline, didn't they? When we talk about discipline, we're talking about something that will enhance our life and take us into a new lifestyle. Discipline, every time you apply discipline to your life, every time you take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, you get strapped a little bit tighter to the altar. You following the metaphor? We get a little more strength in our life to carry on the next day. But every time you give in and you don't take that thought captive and you don't make that thought obedient to Christ, every time you give up, you kind of cut one of those cords that bind you, and it's easier to mess up the next day. Discipline helps us to accomplish His purposes. Disciplined habits, those small corrections. We're not requiring you to be perfect. God knows we're not going to be perfect. But as we make those small corrections, as we change the food in our refrigerator, as we put off the habits, the computers. You know, we get an accountability person for our computer or whatever the situation is in your life. As you make those small adjustments because you're taking those thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ, and you say, God, I'm dedicating this to you. I'm giving this to you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know what you want me to do and accomplish in my life in this area. He'll begin speaking to you. You'll begin making those small corrections. And those are the daily disciplines, the habits that he wants you to form. Whether it's drinking more water or eating more salad or whatever the discipline is in your life. Paul says in Romans 6, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the members or any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. The members are referred to in Scripture are the parts of our body in Scripture. We need to dedicate every single member, especially the ones that give us a hard time in our life. We need to dedicate every single member to God, but especially those that give us challenges. We're to give all of them to God. In your bulletin, I have some sermon notes, and I have different parts of our body that we may need to give to God today. And I don't know what God is speaking to you. I'm delivering one message, and what is there, 60, 70 people in this room, and you're all hearing it and applying it to your life in the way that the Holy Spirit is directing you. So these are helps for you to have, where you dedicate your feet to God. Maybe your feet take you to places where you get tempted. Well, here it says, beautiful are the feet of those who walk and share the gospel. Let your feet take you not into temptation, but take you to places that honor God. Maybe you need to dedicate your sexuality to God, the very next one. Maybe it has nothing to do with salad and water and lifting weights and exercise. Maybe the issue for you is that the pornography on that computer or whatever, and you've gotten yourself into all kinds of trouble and relationship issues and divorce and all kinds of stuff. I've counseled a lot of that. And listen, God made sex. He loves sex. He made that as a great picture of the intimacy that He wants between Him and us. Not in a sick sexual kind of way, but so that we could experience some level of the closeness on earth to know what that's like with Him on a pure level. And so here we have verses here that will help you. Don't get a hint of sexual immorality. You have to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Maybe you need to dedicate your emotions to God, especially if you have an eating problem. But any problem, how many times do we get sad about something and we run to the refrigerator? That was one of my issues. Stress caused me to eat. Or some other issue in your life, you know, you get down and out about something, and instead of controlling your emotions, you run off to a cigarette or whatever the situation is. I'm not picking on certain sins today to single anybody out. Maybe you need to dedicate your hands to God. You're feeling or touching the wrong person, or you're whatever the situation is, or you're using your hands to do things that your hands shouldn't do. Dedicate your hands to God. James 3, you know, your mouth to God, whether you put not only what you put into your mouth, like eating, but also what you put out of your mouth. How many of you know what you put out of your mouth is what reveals your heart? What your mouth speaks, your heart is already thinking. And we need to clean up our mouths. How can fresh water flow from a salt spring? And that's James 3. We need to control our mouth. Dedicate our eyes to God, our ears to God, our mind to God. Dedicate our hearts to God. How do we dedicate our hearts to God? Listen, if you're here today and you don't know that for sure if you die today you go to heaven, that's where it starts. Knowing for sure that you would go to heaven if you die today. You see, we've all been born into sin. We've all lied. We've all stolen. We've all committed adultery in our heart. We've all hated someone. And Jesus says that's the same as murder, coveted our neighbor's property. We've dishonored our parents. We were all teenagers at one point in our life. You know, we've used God's name as a curse word, as blasphemy. We've done all kinds of things to dishonor God. And the wages of sin is death. But Emmanuel, God's name, Emmanuel, Jesus' name, means God with us. Jesus came from heaven to earth to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could go free. So that these words would make sense to us. So that we could make the small corrections in our lives. So that we could take the thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. So that we could discipline our bodies. So that we could be a living sacrifice. So that we could honor God with our bodies. So that we could glorify Him in whatever we do. That's why Jesus came. To give us life. Not just in the hereafter. But here and now. How many of us need life? How many of us need a small correction in some area? Maybe it's none of the things we've talked about. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe we have a pattern in life where we've given up on relationships and we haven't dealt with conflict the way that God would have us deal with conflict. And God is speaking to you about that today. I want you to begin to talk to people about problems that face you, not to run away from them. Not to shuffle them under the rug. That doesn't glorify God. Glorifying God confronts things in a very gentle, loving way and works through to preserve relationships. Did you know that? God wants us to live together in peace. That's what God wants for us. Maybe it's relationship problems. Maybe it's family problems. Maybe it's loving your wife, men. Ephesians 5:33. Maybe it's respecting your husbands, ladies. God wants us to live according to His Word. Whatever that is that God is talking to you about, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever is for you, honor God with it. Glorify Him with it. Let's pray. God, we love You today. And we praise You for Your Word. You care about us. You care about our bodies. We praise You for bringing us into Your temple today. And Lord, the first step in having a bod for God is to dedicate our lives to You. Every single area of our life, and especially those areas of our life that we have temptation in, that we have life-dominating sin in. And I pray, Lord, today, I'm not saying this is the magic cure. I'm saying it's the first start. I'm saying it's the beginning of a whole new paradigm. That, Lord, spiritual changes in our life affect the physical. Physical changes in our life don't necessarily, if ever, affect the spiritual, but spiritual changes, giving an area to You, listening to Your voice, changing small corrections, those little things, God, that we need to change in our life, God, those things make a tremendous difference in every area of our life. And it starts with dedicating, with committing, to surrendering these areas to Jesus Christ. And Lord, that all begins with giving our heart to You, acknowledging Jesus as our Savior, inviting You to come into our life, confessing that Jesus is Lord with our mouth and believing that God raised Him from the dead in our heart. And then the Bible says we will have life. And the whole process starts. Then we can give You the individual things, the things that cause us trouble, the sexual immorality to the weight loss, the whatever the situation is where our feet take us into temptation, to God, what we speak with our mouth to cause conflict in our life, to dealing with relationship problems, whatever the relationship issue, whatever the problem is, God, we want to have a bod for God because we want to glorify You. We want to live for You. We want to do the work that You have us to do. We want the world to see a difference between us and them, because You abide in us. So I pray, God, that You would help us. As we give our lives over to You, we dedicate them to You, God, I pray in Jesus' name that You would work in us, that You would change us, conform us, metamorph us into more and more like Jesus Christ. Renew our minds, in Jesus' name, amen. As we close this morning, take your communication cards out. And even I fill out a communication card and just fill out the front. And next time we have a snow day, you'll be glad that you're getting that email and that phone call, whatever. On the back, I want to draw your attention to some small steps that you might want to take in your life. If it's a weight issue, I put that on there because I can relate with that well. Maybe you need to increase your water, take a food step or an exercise step. Maybe you need to discipline some other area of your body. You can just write it in there. And we do that because it allows me to pray for you in that area. And then 1 Corinthians 10:31 is the memory verse. Maybe you want to memorize that. It's a great verse to live by. Mark that and we'll be praying for you. But if today you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart, whatever the you didn't understand the gospel, you didn't understand that He died on the cross for your sin, and you just had an aha moment, and you say, God, I want to give my life to you. I want to know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Then just check this next box over here. I want to let you know for the first time today, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Or the next box, I dedicate my life to Jesus. I rededicated my life. If you'll mark that, we'll get a new believer packet out to you. It has a Bible study. It has some good helps for you in your spiritual life, and we'll get that out to you this week. I also want to, as we close today, want to draw your attention to the box about baptism. We're having a baptism on February 28th. We already have, I think, 4 or 5 signed up for that. And if you've done that, you don't have to keep doing it. We got your name down there, and you get a little confirmation in the mail or email. If you want to be baptized, you can mark that, I want to be baptized on February 28th. If you're not sure, you just want some information on it, you can check the box at the bottom there. It says, I want information on water baptism, and we'll make sure we get that out to you this week about what it is to be baptized. If you can't wait for the mail, that's fine. You can get it on your way out. There's a brochure about baptism in the foyer there, and if you have trouble finding that, let somebody know, and we'll find that for you. One other quick announcement before we receive the offering, and boys, you're going to have to, I don't know if we have ushers today. Bernie's shoveling, and... Oh, John's here. We do have an usher. Great. I'm not used. Praise the Lord. So I want to mention before we receive that we have new community groups starting on February 6th at 7 o'clock. All the information's in your bulletin under the announcements. And it's a college and career group. So if you have between the ages of like 19 to, what do we say? I don't remember the 34, something like that. If you're college and career, we want to invite you to this community group. You don't have to commit. You can just check it out. Go check it out. See if they're cool or not, cool enough for you, whatever. And you can check it out. It's at Ashley and Jason. He's standing there. They're going to have it at their house. And it's going to be a great group. The address and all that's in your bulletin. If you want to attend that group, mark it's on your communication card. You can mark that. I'm interested in participating in the community group starting on February 6th. And we'll get you signed up for that. Also, we did baptism, the Christmas offering. We got the update in the bulletin. And so we're just continuing to pray and believe God. Do we have $17,000 faith? We do. So we're believing God to accomplish that and be praying that God would do so. So ushers, if you'd come up, we'll receive the offering. God, we pray that you would bless the gift and the giver for your glory. We honor you today, Lord, with our giving and pray that you would use it to further your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.